are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to a brand new episode of Dovetails. Praise God, because the old has gone and the new has come. This is the year of new beginnings, a year of hope, restoration, replenishment, and being refreshed. We have a wonderful lineup of guests for you to learn from, but please make no mistake, for these guests are courageous as they share the most intimate details of their lives. How grateful I am, because each weekend I continue to learn and be amazed at what God is capable of when humanity welcomes Him into their lives. Oh, what God can do with a willing heart is simply remarkable. So if you have never encountered or heard about Jesus Christ before, consider hanging out with us this sweet afternoon as we unpack the journey of my extraordinary guests in order to discover the truth together. And if it is your first time tuning into Dovetails, I am your host, Deborah, founder of DCL Ministries, a ministry birthed from my pain, my tears, my divorce, and my healing when I surrender to God's process. There is a misconception, folks, that time is the thing that heals all wounds, but I am here to tell you, time doesn't heal anything. Time only tells, but it is only God who heals, only God who covers, and only God who loves mankind unconditionally. DCL Ministries is about allowing the God-breathed word to thoroughly equip mankind for every good work. So if you like what you hear and want to join the movement, log on to www.dclministries.com to receive the newsletter, become a guest on Dovetails, read the thought-provoking articles, Sunday devotionals, and learn all about the featured ministries on our very own Writer's Corner. And beginning in June, so excited about this, next month, we will be doing a six-month series on divorce and separation with author Rachel Kidder, and she also leads divorce care. There's just so many of us going through the emotional process when you go through a separation or divorce, and you really just need a group to sort of align yourself with so that you can stay in alignment with our Lord and Savior, really, through the process. So we are going to be doing a six-month series on that, just breaking down divorce care, the different sections, the different parts of grieving the process. And so join us starting next month. And lastly, if you are looking for a good read, try my new book, The Women God Used. And hopefully I can linger just a moment longer, because I'd love to read you an excerpt from it. Women are such fascinating creatures. And if you do not believe me, have a disagreement with one of them and then let me know how you make out. Yes, I agree. We can be difficult, emotional, argumentative, assertive, bossy, dominating. But to our credit, we are also cute, cuddly, adorable, submissive, beautiful, compassionate, nurturing, supportive, and hardworking. I guess in the end, to save time, we are, as a species, complicated. But please tell me, who isn't? The women God used are rarely seen baking apple pie or reading a story to their children before bed. No, the women God used were also clever, unconventional, strong-minded, and strategic. Today, these women would be described as the first you would pick to be on your board of advisors, but not the kind you want to meet in a dark alley after hours. These women are strong enough to drag you to the finish line, but the first to leave you if you are not pulling your weight. Yes, God handpicked complex and complicated women whose stories are not glamorous, with some of their methods being less than desirable. But they created new streams in the very dirty wasteland of sin. This biblical woman forged a dynasty in history and now graced the pages of the greatest story ever told to prove it. If you were not aware, these are the women God used. And this book is for all the women that have had to adjust to life, the women that had to grow into their shells and become leaders, risk takers, rebels, parents to unruly children, widows, single mothers, prostitutes, entrepreneurs, and anything else to survive in this world corroded with sin. This book will allow its readers to see a snapshot of women that didn't take no for an answer when the pitfalls of life tried to bury them into the ground. These women triumphed beyond comprehension and, despite sin crouching at their door, chose unconventional ways and made it anyway. Therefore, God didn't waste our time with highlighting women in the Word that were content with church as usual. No. These were women who cried for a night and, due to time constraints, had to wake up and press on toward the goal to reach the finish line. Horrible, you say? I think not. For some of these women might have been annoying, but they were also anointed. And many women in the Bible are complicated, but they were also called. And many might have appeared scandalous, and yet God could trust them with trouble. This book will walk its readers through the lives of unique women that were called into a ministry, a position in history that no believer or non-believer can ignore or ever forget. I challenge the position that these women were out of place or horrible. On the contrary, they were the Sigourney Weavers of their time, the G.I. Janes of the Bible, and the movers and shakers in their hometown. These women feared the Lord and, through his guidance, changed the hands of time and biblical history. These complicated women, smothered in their own issues and problems and struggles, rose up despite the adversity with a double-edged sword in one hand and the issues of their families in the other. These women paved a way for all who would dare to follow in their tumultuous footsteps, with a disclaimer in bold letters reading, "Buckle up your baby, because we are all in for a bumpy ride." Oh, yes, you are correct in thinking that these women were unconventional, but sin entering the world changed everything. So don't judge how these women made it through, for they are survivors, just like you and just like me. These Bible warriors screamed out to anyone that would listen, "I am woman. Now hear me roar." Therefore, it is time to pay some respect to the women God used. The women God used is about humanity learning to let go of what they thought was going to happen and what they wanted when striving to take hold of a God-centered lifestyle in union with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why Dovetails is excited to have the speaker, author, and CEO, Paula McDade, a woman who chose to seek God's face first when building her brand. Paula McDade is the CEO of Stellar Creative, a boutique brand created to provide print, web, and publishing services to busy entrepreneurs, ministry professionals, and nonprofit organizations. Nicknamed the Ideal Mogul because of her creative genius, she is the editor-in-chief of Brilliant Awakening Magazine and the creative director of the Brilliant Awakening Anthology, a collection of stories from women sharing their experiences of overcoming tragedy and abuse. The anthology was recently nominated Anthology of the Year by the IALA. As a sought-after national speaker, author, and creative social entrepreneur, Paula inspires women to shake off, I love that, shake off the limits of the past while breaking through the walls of doubt and fear by sharing her personal testimony. Through her transparency and authentic style of delivery, she offers practical action steps to help her audience maximize their potential. Paula's work is currently published on YouVersion, also known as the Bible app, an international digital platform reaching millions of readers daily. And she has also been featured on TBN, LeaderCast Women, Connected Women Magazine, as well as multiple radio shows and podcasts. So sit back and relax while we laugh and talk and enjoy unpacking the tales and testimony of the Ideal Mogul herself, the tenacious and devoted Paula McDade. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
This is Catherine Mews, author and founder of Defend the Faith Ministry, and you're listening to Dovetails with Deborah right here on PJC Media.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah, right here on WPJC 104.5.
And welcome back to our Sunday program of Dovetails. I wanted to let you know you can find us here every Sunday, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, uplifting you for your week. We have another wonderful testimony from a woman who consulted God, and He blessed the work of her hands. Today, my guest, Paula McDade, is the CEO of Stellar Creative, a boutique brand created to provide print, web, and publishing services to entrepreneurs, ministry professionals, and nonprofit organizations. She is the editor and chief of Brilliant Awakening magazine and also the creative director of the Brilliant Awakening anthology. Please, please, please help me welcome to the show a woman who helps women shake off the limits of the past while breaking the walls of doubt and fear, the lovely and talented Paula McDade. Hi, Paula.
Hey, Miss Deborah. Yay. So glad to be here.
I love that zeal and zest. I love it. Well, welcome to Dovetails. We just are so happy to have you. And I knew just reading your testimony and understanding even a little bit more about you and your brand and your walk, I really wanted to have you on the program so that you can talk to our listeners about how you did it, which brings to my mind, and I mention this every weekend, Paula, but there was a movie that I saw called Vanilla Sky. And when I saw this movie, the movie was good, but there was a line within the movie that really just really tugged at the core of me. I have found a lot of times on social media, even when we meet people, the world has conditioned us to put our best foot forward. It's always about put your best face on, put your best outfit on, put your clothes on, yeah. You know, step out the right car with the right man. It's like, oh my goodness, there's so much responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I find that, you know, but when we're telling our testimony, I find that God wants us to see the whole, he wants others to see the whole picture, that we leave out some of the good stuff. But I have to be honest, some of the good stuff is the bitter stuff. So in this movie, the line that they said was the sweet isn't as sweet without the bitter. So I always think, you know, for this show, you know, it's rooted in scripture. It's rooted in the Holy Spirit descending on us like a dove and us really being able to tell our testimony, to impart it to help someone else. But in order to impart that testimony, we have to add in the bitter moments because I don't think the sweet are just as sweet. So with that being said, here on Dovetails, in order to for the listeners to hear everything, we sort of start at the beginning. And with that being said, my first question to you is about family, darling. And I wanted to know if you were if you were raised in a family that acknowledged Jesus Christ?
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's a loaded question.
It is.
So the answer is yes, they did acknowledge Jesus Christ, but there was also a lot of religion in my family as well. So I did grow up in a Christian home. I did grow up in a Christian environment. My grandmother and grandfather were pillars in their church, and they raised all of us. You hear the term raised in church, and literally that was the case. My mother was very devoted in the church that she grew up in. She met a man who she later married. He was an usher when they first met, and then later he became a minister. And this would have been my stepfather. By this time, my biological father and mother had divorced when I was 4. So when I was about 8, she met this other man who was, again, an usher in the church, and he became a minister later. But then he started molesting me at the age of about 8 or 9. I don't remember exact time. And so when you say acknowledge Christ, there was some acknowledgement of Christ, but there certainly was also a lot of dysfunction and sin, hidden sin, secret sin in our environment growing up. And so, but in spite of all of that, I did have a personal relationship with Christ. By the time I was 12, I really, really felt strongly that God was a huge part of my life. I accepted him into my heart. I acknowledged him as Lord. And we began our relationship. But by that time, of course, a lot of things had already occurred in my childhood that were contrary to, what a Christian lifestyle would look like. And so there was a lot of confusion there. But yeah, there was some acknowledgement, of course, of Jesus. But again, lots of religion and lots of dysfunction.
Wow. You know what? You are a woman of your word. You are quite transparent. And I thank you for sharing that. And I'm sorry that happened to you.
Thank you.
We have similar stories.
Not
to me, but my sister and our family. So I'm glad that you raised this. I'm glad that you felt led to just, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, did I not tell you I had a contender? Did she not start off with a bang? I mean, that's a bang, right? But I love that you raised this, because there's many of our listeners out there that are listening. You too have been raised in a family that says they acknowledge God, that says they acknowledge Christ, and being born again, you live a daily life of going to church and going to Sunday school and ushering and teaching the choir and attending Bible study, and yet we can go back to our homes and disassociate. We can go back to our homes and still be doing sinful things. Horrible and despicable things. And there has to be, some confusion about that. When you say, Paula, there's religion going on, what does that mean? Just sort of...
It means having a form of godliness, but
denying his power. Lord have mercy.
Going through the motions of attending services and prayer and Bible study and choir rehearsal and whatever other things that you do inside of the church while speaking Christianese, speaking Christian, language and terms, and looking holy and godly on the outside, yet not having the inner workings of the Holy Spirit evident in your life and living out that lifestyle. That's, to me, what religion looks like.
Like it doesn't go any deeper than the surface. You really have two faces at that point. Those of you out there that are listening, I hope that you're hearing this. This is a deep topic, but I hope that you receive this. God is not interested in your external goodness. He's interested in that moral behavior, that moral law. What's your reasoning for the actions that you do? Many of us were walking around and we want to look the part of a Christian. that many times these days we actually have to explain to each other what a Christian is. Because saying Christian these days doesn't really come with that positive mark of God's people like it should. And we have to now explain ourselves because actions are not lining up with words. There's many of you out there listening today, you're telling me you're an apple tree, but I don't see many apples. And we have to think about those things. What fruit are you bearing, or are you just standing there being a fig tree? Just no purpose, no reasoning, and can't produce. So keep those things in mind, you know, as you're listening to Paula tell her testimony today, that God's people, we really are real people. We hurt and we cry and we bleed, but there has to be an internal change. That it's the opposite of what the world teaches. The world teaches that we have to look the part, and on the inside we can be corrupt. However, God is talking about the inside, the inner man, the Holy Spirit leading versus us putting on a great hairdo and makeup and great clothes and thinking that, okay, well, I wore studs and my skirt was, you know, at ankle level. That does not mean that you're a Christian. Doesn't mean that. What are your ways? How do you live? And who is counseling you? Who is governing you? And are you following the source, which is Jesus Christ? So we're going to move forward. Paula, I'd love for you to talk to our listeners. What type of young girl do you think that you were, or how your friends would describe you? Were you an introvert, an extrovert?
I was a little bit of both. I mean, you know, when I was younger, because of the abuse, I had lots of anxiety. I had growing up, I had a lot of anxiety, and even some depression, even as a young girl. So that sort of made me introverted. But my natural personality is very easygoing and fun-loving, and you know, that wasn't really able to manifest until later, after I started to work on some of the trauma issues that I had, because, you know, my real personality got stuffed down under the trauma and under the anxiety and depression. And I suffered with that even into young adulthood, and really struggled with, you know, going on pharmaceutical medication versus just allowing the grace and the healing power of God to bring me through that season. And I chose the latter. You know, they wanted to prescribe antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications, et cetera, but I refused. You know, I took the prescription, but I didn't ever fill it. I didn't ever, you know, go through with actually taking the medication, because I said, God, I want to trust you through this process. I know you to be a healer. You know, I was spirit-filled and speaking in tongues and, you know, in a church where they believed in the power of the moving of the Holy Spirit. And so I said, Lord, you know, I've seen miracles, signs, and wonders, and I believe that you can heal me from this depression and anxiety. So he and I walked through that together. But as a young girl, I was more timid, more quiet, more to myself. I wasn't necessarily a loner, but I didn't hang out in big groups of other kids. I was more of the person who may would have one friend that I kind of stuck close with. And until this day, I'm still kind of that way. I'm still kind of the person that I really don't need a big crowd of friends, a big group of friends. You know, I'm the kind of person that I have, you know, one or two really close friends that I hang with, and that's about it. And that's just my natural personality. But, you know, for what I do, being in the public eye and everything, I have to be more outgoing. I have to be more, you know, extroverted, because I have to get up in front of people and talk and speak and, you know, do all these other things. And so that's another side of my personality that I use as I will. So the technical term for what I am is an ambivert. I am both. I am an introvert who can hang with, you know, by myself and do solitary activities, but I'm also an extrovert at times, where I can be outgoing and I can be in front of people and talkative and all that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of both.
Oh my goodness. All right, folks, you heard it here on Dovetails, ambivert. Okay. Please tell me that you just document that.
Yeah, right.
No, it's wonderful. You can tell even as you speak, there's healing that had to come in order for your personality to surface. There are some of you out there listening. You are struggling with the exact same thing or worse. you are wondering, God, who am I aside from being abused? Who am I aside from being called stupid? Who am I aside from being molested or raped? Who am I? Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I want to encourage you that the Word of God has that answer for you. It's not enough sometimes for us to tell you that you're made and created in His image. I challenge you to seek out the image you were created in. Get the answers directly from Him. And there is not a story in the Bible that you cannot at least relate to, but you can find yourself in the Word of God. I love, Paula, that you said you know by nature you're fun-loving and down to earth, but some of those things were stuffed down. Those of you out there, know that we're praying for you, that we realize that those things are being stuffed down, that there's weight and depression and fear and anxiety sitting on top of that personality, that light side of you, that joyous side of you that was stolen from you in reality. So know that we're praying for you. Paula's praying for you. I wanted to highlight something you said. You said, God, I want to trust you through this process. God, I want to trust you through this process. You brought up something about medication, and you brought up that you had two thoughts in your mind. I kind of want to highlight that because many of us out there, we know that medication is available, and I'm not downing science. I believe God has allowed science to prosper because there's some things that we do need to know that the Lord is making us aware of. If you need to take aspirin because you have a headache, don't think you're not a believer of God. Please remove that from your mind. But also hear what Paula said. I do know the grace and the mercy and the healing power of God. Know that you can choose. And if you decide to choose, there are consequences to that grace and heal. There's consequences to that choice. Meaning that you're going to be suffering probably a little bit. So, Paula, talk to us a little bit about that choice, because that choice couldn't have been easy.
It wasn't. It was very tempting to, you know, and this is the dilemma. You know, it's tempting to seek out the easy, the quick answer. It's the quick fix, the instant gratification. You know, you pop a pill and suddenly you're feeling better. But then the other side of that is that you're not really, all the medication really does is it suspends the symptoms for a time so that you can just go through life, basically. It's not really giving you the ability to process your feelings and to uncover the root cause of different things. See, there was a root cause to the depression and the anxiety, and it was coming from the trauma that I experienced as a child. So I could have chose to mask that with medication and go through life. And let me, I hope the audience hears me say this. I am not downplaying medication and what it can do for individuals who need it, or for those who, you know, on a short-term basis, that is a temporary bridge to get you to where you need to go. I think there are people who, you know, for different reasons have their brain chemistry is out of order, and for a short time they need that in order to get to a better place. So, but what I am saying is that for those who are aware that God is really speaking to their heart, that they need to get to the root cause of things. And I think that's the problem. I think not getting to the root cause tends to be a hindrance for believers, because when you don't deal with that, now you have to somehow mask that thing in order to function in your daily life, whether that be you're masking it with medication or with alcohol or with illicit sex or pornography, or you're masking it with shopping addiction or whatever the case may be. There are many drugs of choice out there for people to mask pain. And because we live in a society that is so overwrought with sin and with trauma on a daily basis, we are getting assaulted with school shootings and mass killings and, all sorts of things. So there are plenty of opportunities to mask pain personal pain, societal pain, racial pain, church hurt. There are so many opportunities, but what God is doing is he's inviting us to take a deeper look beyond the pain and dig underneath that. And then once we get to the root of it, to submit that to him for his healing process to take place. And it is a process. You know, he takes us through moments of being able to feel the feelings that are necessary to grieve the losses, to grieve the atrocity, to grieve the trauma. And then, you know, as we walk through that portion, now he wants to cover that with the blood of Jesus and, you know, apply the word to the trauma, apply the word to the pain. And then, you know, once we've done that, then just begin to shift that mindset into a place of, you know, we are now his. We belong to him. You know, he is our father. He's a good father. And so learning how to live from that viewpoint and not from the viewpoint of a victim and not from the viewpoint of someone who has been tainted in some type of way. So there is a process. And I think that, you know, again, medication has its place, but, you know, certainly the healing process of God is a much better and more long-standing choice, in my opinion.
I hope, thank you for that. Just thank you for saying the things that I think it's hard for people to say, to express, that have gone through what you've gone through, that can articulate it. It takes a long time to get the balance back, a long time. I want to ask first, I just want to highlight one thing. Those of you out there listening, I hope you heard Paula say, get to the root of the cause, the root of the cause. And what she's meaning by that, it's what ignited the outward behavior? What has ignited that? Many times you might be sleeping around. Many times you might be taking drugs. Many times you might even be bulimic because you have a problem with the image and who you are and your self-worth. That right there, that is just the outward response. Mm-hmm. That is how you're coping with the problem. But what Paul is saying is get to the root of it. When did it begin? There was a song I love. It's a group called Switchfoot. And one of the lyrics that he says in the song is, maybe forgiveness is where you fell. That sometimes we have to look back at, when did I stumble? Was it 10 years ago? Was it last week? When did I fall off the wagon and start drinking again? What was the trigger? Right? Mm-hmm. So I hope you are hearing that out there. Paul, I want to ask a hard question. I think a lot of people, it can be misinterpreted, the answer. It can be, I shouldn't say the answer can be misinterpreted, but well, let me just ask the question. That would probably help. how can you serve a God, and people might say, that allowed you to get molested?
Wow, it's funny. I was talking to someone about this very topic the other day, you know, how people can misunderstand how God operates in the world. And so with the realization that, you know, we came into this world because God decided to create us in his image, and we were created for his purposes. And so, you know, when he put us here, we were in a perfect state. And then, of course, sin came into the picture through Satan enticing Eve and, you know, that whole Garden of Eden, the fall in the garden. And, you know, at that point, the game changed. At that point, you know, things began to, because God created us with free will. We have to realize that everything we do hinges on decisions, everything we do. So when we say things like, well, God is in control, you know, he is in control to a certain extent, but he also gives human beings their own free will. So there are choices that we make and circumstances that we create based upon our decisions that may lead to trauma, hurt, pain, abuse, you know, all of these ugly things that happen at the hands of other human beings. And that has nothing to do with the goodness of God. That does not take away from his sovereignty, from his all-knowing, all-seeing power. But he's not going to step in and intervene on someone's free will. He's just not going to do that. So, you know, when we say things like, you know, why would God allow this? It's because God is good. God is love. God is long-suffering. God is patient. God is all-knowing. And so even in these horrible, horrible things that we hear about happening, there is a plan and a purpose on the other side of those things. God takes all things and works them together for our good. And so when we have these tragedies that occur in our life, God is taking that tragic circumstance and he is molding and shaping that into a beautiful testimony to where at the end of that thing, we will not even look like what we've gone through. You know, that saying, you don't look like what you've been through. Just like the Hebrew boys that got thrown in the fiery furnace, you know, they were supposed to be burned to a crisp. I mean, they were in an extremely hot environment, but they came out of that oven with not so much as a hair on their head being singed. And that's how you know that God is. That's how you know that he is merciful. He is graceful. He is loving. He is kind. And for those who feel like, well, I do look like what I've gone through. I look like I've been abused because, you know, I don't take care of myself. I don't love myself. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like I belong. For those of you who feel that way, let me just minister to you right now. God absolutely loves you. He absolutely cares what happened to you. He absolutely knows and understands all of the pain that you feel. But on the other side of that, he is waiting with open arms to release you from the pain that you feel. And it's just a matter of you using your free will, your choice, your decisions to accept his love. Don't reject him. He is not human. He is not an abuser. He is not a tyrant or a monster. He loves you unconditionally, and he's waiting to receive you.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, my. You're ministering to all of us. We are so blessed, Paula, to have you on this show today.
Amen.
Your words are powerful. They really are.
Amen.
The way you handled that question, what understanding and what depth that he has started that great work in you, and we can hear it. We can hear your journey. It's not about glitz and glam. You've gone through something, and you are an overcomer. You are an achiever. You are a child of God. You are a queen. Thankful. We're all thankful to have you today, just talking to us. Ooh, getting us ready for the week. Sweet Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
Well, folks, we're going to take a really short break. I'm telling you, this powerful woman, we have to just give her a cold beverage because she is on fire. those of you have been tuning in this afternoon, we are interviewing Paula McDade, CEO of Stellar Creative, a boutique brand created to provide print, web, and publishing services to busy entrepreneurs, ministry professionals, and nonprofit organizations. If you were just tuning in to what Paula was saying, I'd love to encourage you. She talked a lot about moral law, and C.S. Lewis, great C.S. Lewis that wrote the Chronicles, in his book Mere Christianity, talks about moral law, and he kind of goes into a deeper level, and Paula said it so eloquently. She really explained it so beautifully, but if you want to understand, like we're thinking, God is the one that's allowing things, and really what Paula was talking about is choices, that we all have choices. And many of us think that whatever's happening in our lives, our little choice that we made is not impacting anyone. But that's where you're wrong. That when you have 7 billion people on the planet making choices that come into agreement with sin, that's when you have war. That's when you have all the horrible things that are happening in this world. And even on an individual basis, you making a choice in your own life that you it might be something that you're going through and you're like, well, I know that I need to go and have a divorce. But there's an impact to all the choices that we make. There's somebody on the outsides of that that is going to have to endure it, not just you. So C.S. Lewis really does a beautiful job. Love to challenge you to pick up a copy, Mere Christianity, beautiful book. We're going to take a really, really short break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about the maturity and responsibility that it takes to not only discover your gifts, but to really bring it to fruition. So we'll be right back with this wonderful woman of God. Stay tuned with us.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of GDT Walking Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional. So if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walking Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on!
This is Carla Cook, daughter of the legendary Mr. Soul Sam Cook. You're listening to Dovetails with Deborah Lassiter. There will come a time in life when a change gon' come. Make your change count.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
And we are back and having such a great time with this awesome woman of God, Paula McDade, beautiful, beautiful woman of God. She's the editor-in-chief of Brilliant Awakening Magazine, as well as the creative of the Brilliant Awakening Anthology, which was recently nominated for Anthology of the Year by IALA. Please, as we interview her, check out her website at www.paulamcdade.com. You can also find her on all the social media sites, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. She is all over. Prior to the break, we've just been talking with her about her childhood and all the things that the Lord has laid on her heart and the discoveries that she has made. She has really said some profound things to us during this program. So next, since we have her, we want to pick her brain, and we want to talk about spiritual gifts, Paula. I wanted to talk about that because God gives everyone gifts, but many times it just might come so naturally that our gifts are overlooked because they're not big and glamorous. How did you come to know about your various gifts, and when did you recognize them? Did you feel like when you recognized them that they were always a part of you, you just didn't know it?
So a story about my grandfather. Ever since I was a very small child, he called me his little school teacher. I mean, and that was all that was throughout my entire life, even into adulthood, even into his old age. And so he's passed on now, but that always resonated with me, always. And around the age of 12, I really started to sense a spiritual gift of teaching. That is one of the spiritual gifts. And I was teaching Vacation Bible School at the age of 12. I was literally teaching adults in Vacation Bible School. And so much like Jesus, and I'm definitely not comparing myself but to Jesus, but I'm saying, you know, he also recognized very early on that he had a gift, you know. And so at the age of 12, and it was a joy. It wasn't like, oh, I have to do this. You know, it was a joy to prepare the lessons and prepare the materials and get everything ready. And so I've been flowing in that for quite some time now. Another one of my gifts is exhortation. I love to speak into the lives of others and to spur them towards the will of God for their lives and to spur them on to fulfilling their purpose. That is something that I get a great deal of joy in, and I do it often. And a lot of times you can tell when it's God working because of the fruit that happens from what you're doing. And I have had people to start businesses and ministries and brands based on me speaking a word of exhortation and encouragement to them. And so, you know, and then I often will operate in the prophetic. I don't call myself, I'm not a prophet, but I do often get words, you know, from God. And a lot of times it's just conversational. I'll be having a conversation with someone, and then the Spirit of God will just start speaking in that conversation to this person, and they may not even know that it's God, but I can recognize it because I can tell when things begin to shift and I start to go into that spiritual mode, if you will. And it's a wonderful place to be. But, you know, it took time to recognize those things. It took time to realize that was actually God and not just me. And it's, giftings are different than talents. A talent is something that you can learn, that you can be taught. You can take lessons, but when you have a gifting, it is truly anointed by God. And that's also how my business came to light. My creative business came to light because I had a couple who was praying with me, praying over me, actually. And they were praying about something completely different. I was actually seeking God for physical healing because I thought that I was having symptoms of some kind of illness. And so they were praying and they said, you know, we really don't sense that you have anything physical going on. What we do sense, however, is that you have a tremendous amount of creative gifts on the inside of you. And I'm talking multitude, that the lady was so overwhelmed by the Spirit of God as she was sharing this with me, that she was literally physically shaking. She said, it's so much, I can't contain what all you have on the inside of you as far as creative gifts. And she said, and God is going to use every single one of those gifts for his glory. And so I left that prayer session thinking, oh my gosh, like, what was that about? I said, you know, and then I got to thinking about it. I've been creative my whole life. As a child, I used to freehand draw portraits and cartoon characters and things like that, and literally they would be so good that people would pay me money for these drawings. And so I've always had a creative side, I've always had a creative gift, but when they spoke God's will over that in that prayer session, it activated immediately those gifts to a different level. And that is literally how my business came into being, Stellar Creative.
I just feel so giddy talking to you. It's a beautiful thing. It is. It's a beautiful thing. Those of you out there listening, I hope you're feeling encouraged. I hope you're feeling motivated, that there's something ignited inside of you right now. And I wanted to make the link. You know, we started off this program talking about the devastating thing that happened to Paula. But do you see how the adversary, right when you're born, will start a chaos and dilemma in your life, it's only to push down the gift. Because all gifts are for His glory. All gifts are really to really exhort and to magnify and glorify Jesus Christ. So if in the beginning of your life, you're listening out there and something has happened to you, maybe you have a mental illness, maybe right now you're struggling with health issues, maybe there's all these things, financial issues, things that burden your spirit, understand that God is going to take that and turn it into good. But you have to align yourself with Jesus Christ. You have to know where your strength comes from, if I can say it that way. So keep that in mind. And those of you teaching VBC, come on now. The teaching gift might be on you. So keep that in mind. And as Paul spoke, I kept hearing that scripture, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And, you know, what happens is the adversary's trying to change the way you think of yourself. He's trying to replace the image you were created in with the worldly image. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. You fight that with everything that you got, with the word of God. You take out that word of God and speak it out into the air. That is powerful. You might not even understand it, but Christ said, I spoke what was written. Speak what is written. And I'm telling you, the devil will back on up. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee. Not you, he. And your gifts will be stirred up inside. I love this. Also, I wanted to just comment really quickly. You know, many times people, when you have let's just say you're not a believer and yet you are going to a tarot card reader and they're telling you your future. And then what happens is you become a Christian. And what do? You seek out every prophet you can find because you think that, you know, okay, well, they're going to still tell me my future. Be mindful of that. A prophet is not for that. This is not a soothsayer or a medium. You know, I hope you understand, you know, someone speaking into your life. Many times a prophet is just told to pray on things. It's not even about delivering any word to you. But it is, you know, a person that speaks into your life and telling you what God might have for you in life. But I want you to understand, no man is the source. People are just a confirmation. Because I bet you bottom dollar, when Paula was told, she had heard it somewhere before, a whisper, a word. Somebody told her. God told her. He had already told her. It just, the person just confirmed what was already there, just confirmed what she already knew she was already doing. So keep those things in mind. Paula, I have personally experienced God-given gifts begin in many ways to separate one from those that are not like-minded or going the same direction. Can we talk about that maturity that is needed to discern? You know, like, that's a hard road. Everybody I know, it feels like God is separating me. But my gift is taking me somewhere, and I can't hang with you anymore. Talk to us.
Yeah, especially when it is a spouse. Unfortunately, that was my testimony. In my marriage, I was with someone who had no understanding of what God had placed on the inside of me, no understanding how God works through individuals to bring about destiny and to draw us to His ultimate purpose and plan for our lives. And because he did not have that foundation and that understanding, he misunderstood my gifts as something that were getting in the way of our daily lives and were causing me to be drawn away. And, you know, when you're in purpose, you don't have time to babysit other people's feelings. You really don't. You have to put your head down and just work when God says work. And, you know, often he saw this as taking time away from him. He saw this as taking time away from, you know, the things that he wanted to do. And I would try to explain, but my explanations were never good enough. And so what I found was, you know, I was tempted at one point to sort of take down and dim my light, if you will, and stop doing so much of what I was doing. But then I was very, very dissatisfied and very, you know, just antsy because I was like, this doesn't feel right. And it's because it wasn't right. You know, God, he doesn't intend for us to have to, you know, walk away from the calling that he's placed on our lives to please other people. And so this dilemma made me have to one day just say, okay, God, I choose you and I choose your will and I choose the direction that you have for my life. If that means I have to lose some things, if that means I have to lose some people, some relationships, so be it. And lo and behold, it wasn't long, less than a year later, that relationship was coming to an end because, you know, he just felt as though we weren't a fit anymore. He was not satisfied with the direction that I was going in. He felt like we were going in two separate directions, and we were. And so, you know, just divine intervention one day, he just decided to make an announcement that he wanted out of our marriage. And while that is a devastating thing from a relational point of view, it was God's hand of mercy on my life to release me from something that was literally holding me back from the fullness of what he had for me.
That's a hard, that is such a difficult experience, I think, to go through. Mm-hmm. I often said in my own divorce, I found God at the demise of my marriage. You know, it was so bizarre on one level to be so fulfilled with my relationship with the Lord and to really watch my marriage crumble, to burn to the ground. I think many of you out there listening, you know, Paula is really bringing up some great, great things. We can make everything, every individual thought Paula has had today, we can turn that into a show. I hope you all know that. but watch whomever you're around that is always making you feel that you need to shrink back. Watch that. Watch that because we're all forming our Christian voices, but sometimes people could put a muzzle on your voice. And you find yourself always maneuvering to fit what's going on in their life. And before you know it, that is that's a distraction. You'll never find your purpose. You'll never dwell in it. You might see the promised land like the Israelites, but you will never dwell there. And this is the difficulty. God wants you to dwell in the promised land. He doesn't want you, you know, having to sit there and figure, oh, my goodness, like, well, if I actually go for this, I'm going to look as if I'm better than my spouse. Or if I make more money, there's going to be a problem in the family. If I do this, and you find yourself shrinking back.
Yeah.
But it does go to my next question for Paula, because I want to talk about, you know, or this is a good segue into this next question. And so, I'm sorry, your testimony. Let's see here. When you said that you were looking to change vocations, I love that as you were discovering who you are in your, or who you were in your marriage, that it, this connection, this even deeper connection had to be with the Lord. So you had said in this transition, in this hard transition, this vocation that you were trying to even go to, that you sought God, you sought out guidance and counsel from the Lord. As I was just even thinking about that, I thought about Rebecca in the Bible when she was pregnant. This is Isaac's wife, and she's pregnant. And, you know, truth be told, when I read about her story in the Bible, I'm like, oh, my goodness, the woman had such favoritism with the children. I mean, we just issue, right? And I'm like, well, how is she a godly woman? And then, of course, as I continue to read about her, I'm like, but when she was pregnant, she asked God. Everything that she did, even though it was distorted and she usurped her authority in reality, but she asked God, why am I having this pain in my belly? I'm pregnant. He said, well, you're pregnant with two nations. And I thought to myself, she asked God. She asked God. And I thought about your testimony. You asked God. Talk to our listeners. There's power. You know, we go around from friend to coworker to family member, and I'm not saying that those things are not good. But at the end of the day, what are you basing your decisions on? Or are you being thrown to and fro? Are you asking God? Talk to us about this.
Yeah, I mean, because he created the manual that operates our entire lives, you know. So if we're not consulting him, it's almost like trying to fix an expensive a piece of equipment without using the proper instructions.
Manual.
You know? Yeah, you know. And so why not go to the one who actually made and created us and ask him for his guidance and his direction on what we should be doing, where we need to go, how we need to move in the world, who should we connect with? You know, our pastor preached this morning about, you know, just overriding the will of God and just going with our flesh and doing what we want to do with regards to these major life-changing decisions. You know, you shouldn't be changing jobs or vocations or geographic locations or spouses or anything without consulting God, because truly he knows what's best for us. And during this dark season, during the season when I was coming out of, you know, one career and really seeking something different and wanting a change and wanting to switch gears, of course I asked God, because it started, remember, with a prayer session. And so I figured, okay, whatever you told these people about me and what is on the inside of me, I need you to tell me now. I need you to convey that information to me. Because if you don't tell me, then I won't know which way to go and what to do. And so in prayer and in seeking him and in fasting and in writing in my journal and you know, all of these different things, there were many different ways that I would hear from God. Sometimes it would be through a billboard. So, and, I mean, this, I'm going to say some unconventional things that people don't typically see as the voice of God. God will speak through a radio show, a television show, a movie, a billboard, a magazine. He will speak through a fortune cookie. And please don't, I'm not condoning witchcraft or anything like that. Please don't go to a psychic. Please don't go to tarot cards. Please don't go to any of those dark arts to get your life direction advice, please. But what I am saying is often God will use things that we think are insignificant or that, you, oh, he could never speak through a movie. You best believe God is all about coming to us in the way in which we can receive the information. Mm-hmm. So if he knows that we love magazines, and I am a magazine person, I love magazines, then you may come across an article in that magazine that speaks directly to your current situation. You may come across a billboard that has a saying on it, and you're like, oh, my gosh, like that really resonated with me. And the thing that you're looking for is what type of check in your spirit are you getting? Is your spirit, you know, are on the inside, are you getting this, oh, my gosh, that really resonates, that feels spiritually, that feels right. That feels like a yes. If you're getting that, then please, please stick a pin in whatever that is and just know that God may be using that to speak to your situation. And for me, God used LinkedIn. It's not a Christian platform. There are no prophets, you know, running LinkedIn. It is a secular network platform digitally created so that we can connect with people all across the globe with regard to business, career, and, you know, brand. And so I went on LinkedIn one day and I was just kind of looking through my network and a lady just stuck out to me. I've never connected with her before. We weren't friends at the time. I decided to send her a connection request, because not friend request on LinkedIn, it's a connection request. She accepted. I said, hey, you know, you own a graphic design company. I'd really like to connect with you. I think that you may have some things to share with me that might be helpful in my career transition. She didn't even answer me the first time. I didn't hear back from her. It was 2 days later. Now, most people would have stopped at that point and said, well, she didn't write back, so maybe there's no connection. But I knew something about this woman stood out to me. So I wrote her back and said, hey, I know you're a busy professional. I am as well. I said, but I would really like to connect with you. I think we should have coffee or something and just get acquainted. So a day later, she did write me back. She said, please forgive me for not writing you back right away. You're right. I was really busy, but sure, I'd love to go have coffee. We set up a Panera Bread meeting. We sat down, and this woman was ready to hire me on the spot for her graphic design company.
I love it.
From a LinkedIn connection. Not super spiritual, right? But so God, you know. And the rest
but
is
you know
history.
What,
I
Paul,
went to work. Yeah.
Go ahead. No, go right ahead.
The rest is history. I went to work for this woman. She showed me the ropes. She showed me the behind the scenes of what happens with a creative company like hers. She taught me design principles. She paid for me to go and take classes at the local vocational college for graphic design. She was literally one of the catalysts that propelled me into my company. My Stellar Creative is literally propelled by her obedience to hire me, train me, teach me the ropes, and show me what happens behind the scenes.
Folks, I have to go back to the scripture that Paula said in the beginning of the show. And I hope as you're listening to her testimony, I want to just highlight this. She's quoted Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, mm-hmm. who have been called
yes.
according to his purpose. Do you see mm-hmm. how the pitfalls of life, do you see how the mess of life can soon turn into a message? Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see how
yeah.
her listening to God, and, you know, when she spoke about just now and all those things of how God communicates with you, when you have a personal relationship with God, and this right here goes back to the beginning where she said in growing up, the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ was there, but there was religion there. What
mm-hmm.
what needs to happen is a personal relationship. Talking about
yes.
when you sit down with your friends and you're laughing and talking, God wants that with you. Because in
mm-hmm.
that personal relationship, he speaks to you in a particular way. And
mm-hmm.
and Paula said it brilliantly. She clearly was, I mean, the way she conveyed it, everyone, I hope you were listening to that. The way that you communicate, he understands the way you think. He knows what
mm-hmm.
you're drawn towards. And again,
mm-hmm.
he's taking everything to turn it into good. Everything.
Yes.
That means
yes.
if you're molested or raped, bet your bottom dollar by the end of your testimony, you won't even look like you, like she said, that you've gone through what you've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be
mm-hmm.
in tune with the source. So
mm-hmm.
this is what she's speaking about. Get a personal relationship with the Lord because he can guide you. Believe me, God will take your email. Let's just say it goes into someone else's inbox by mistake. Things happen. It is brilliant the way that the Lord does it. You'll be at the
yes.
postal office standing right next to your next employer. You don't
mm-hmm.
know what God can do. I'm
That's
telling
right.
you, he says, I will bless you. And from that one blessing, many will pour from it.
Yes.
I'm telling
yes.
you, change the way that you think. I have to go into this next question. I was going to take a break, but you know what? Holy Spirit is on fire, and we need to just go right with the Lord. Paula, you are a sought-after national speaker. You're an author and a creative social entrepreneur. I love everything. Everything about you is creative, creative, creative.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
mm-hmm.
The creator made a creation, and look at you
yes.
just really mirroring what the Lord has done in all of our lives. You inspire women to shake off the limits of the past while breaking through the walls of doubt and fear. I highlight this
mm-hmm.
within your testimony because these are all action words. Action,
mm-hmm.
action, action. Breaking and
yes.
pushing and shaking off. And, you know, talk to us the action steps. And I bring this up. One of my favorite books is called Celebration of Discipline. It's by Richard Foster. I love this book. My ex-father-in-law recommended it for me. He said, "War, you got to read this book." And I'm in love with this book. And it really talks about the spiritual formation of prayer and meditation and solitude and all those things that draw us closer to the Lord. I bring up your action steps because I think action steps come after discipline. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that magic word that God uses to begin to mold and shape us into
mm-hmm.
our what he wants us to be, that discipline, you know, that patience. of, you know, allowing, the word says allow patience to have its perfect work, you know, so that you may complete, be complete, lacking nothing. And truly, the walk towards your destiny is going to require a lot of patience and a lot of waiting on God and hearing from God. And often you will be tempted to, you know, override that and just make something happen. But when you trust God, when you are His, when you say, Lord, I belong to you and no one else, He knows how to get you from point A to point B. And what He doesn't want is you to miss any of the steps in between. Because believe me, there are steps to your next level, whether it be going and getting that job at this certain company or connecting with this certain person or submitting yourself to servant leadership within a different organization or whatever that might look like. There are steps. But again, like you were saying, you know, it requires relationship. For those of you who struggle with this whole relationship with God thing, let me just tell you, it's really simple. It is as simple as being yourself with God, being your whole self, not just the parts that you think are good and holy and perfect and nice and sweet, because you do realize that He knows all of you. He knows the good, bad, the ugly. Therefore, there's no hiding from God. There's no, you know, putting on a mask with Him. He knows everything about you, and all He wants is for you to come to Him. In spirit and in truth, what that really means is coming to Him not only with the spiritual side of who you are, but also with the truth of who you are, the complete whole truth of who you are. Come to Him with your disappointments. Come to Him with your anger. Come to Him with your fears. Come to Him with your loneliness. Come to Him with your doubts, your insecurities, because those are the areas He really wants to work on, but He can't work on them if we're going to play this game of, oh, but I'm so perfect, and oh, I'm so holy. And, you know, that's a game that you can't afford to play with God. So relationship requires transparency, and it requires you being all showing up in all of who you are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the only way that He can work on those things. So,
that's right.
Yeah, that discipline and that process. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, what that looks like is, again, you know, establishing that relationship. And then once you have the relationship, you know, just asking Him for His guidance and direction. Lord, what will you have me do today to push me further into my purpose, to push me closer into my destiny? What does that look like today? Who should I speak with? Who should I talk to? Who do I connect with, God? Who should I send that email to or reach out on a LinkedIn or some other network to? Those are all pieces to your destiny puzzle. Those are all things to get you closer to the purpose and plans of God for your life.
You're beautiful. Oh, my goodness. I hope you, if you haven't heard it lately, you're exquisitely beautiful. You really are.
You.
I mean, you're beautiful on the outside. I don't think it's any comparison with the inside. I think, seriously, it's infectious. It's simple. But it's lovely, but it's powerful. You know, it's strength that's there. There's a foundation that you've built on and that you've allowed the Lord to really do that nice work inside of you. I'm telling you, folks, it is tough. And, you know, as you're listening to Paula, I know some of you are out there saying, well, if He already knows when I am, why do we have to talk to Him anyway? I know some of you out there are saying that. If you're a parent and you might have a child, you've noticed some things within their character. Does that mean you don't want to talk to the child? Does that mean that you hate your child because you've just noticed that maybe they didn't want to share today? No, you still love that child. You still want to talk to them. You still want to laugh with them. You don't throw them away because they didn't want to share today. Or perhaps they took the crayons that you told them not to, and now they're off doing something else. No, God wants the best for you. And I think if you anchor that fact, if you anchor that He looks for ways to bless you, if you anchor that, then everything that you're doing, you know, you might be scared, you might be this, you might be that, but God is saying, even in His instruction to you, He wants the best for you. Even when He holds back and He might not tell you all the answers, He wants the best for you. Keep in mind, many times we say things like, God, I just want to know the truth. Only God can look evil in the eye and still be God. We weren't made to look evil in the eye. So God will hold back know, you might have an intuition that something's just not right. Go with it. God might not tell you anything more, but the intuition should be enough. Sometimes I call that the yellow flag. So when we think about traffic, we know the green light means go. We know the red light means stop. But the yellow light says proceed with caution. Sometimes God's just going to give you a yellow light. He's just going to say, watch it. This is what Oprah calls the whispers of God, the whispers. Well, then, and of course, we know Paul in the Bible, he had a brick upside his head. But, you know, some of us will need that. But keep that in mind. He wants the best for you. And so he's always making sure that you're protected, that there's merciful things. And mercy doesn't always mean giving you what you want. Mercy might mean, you know what, you've been drinking and you've passed. Every single time that you've been stopped by the police, you've never had a DUI, but now this time you are. That's merciful because he's stopping you in your tracks. Job 5:17 says, blessed is the man who the Lord corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Don't despise it. Because when the parent turns their back, then we have a problem.
Yeah.
God is the parent. He's parental love. He loves you. Keep that in the center of your walk, no matter what it looks like. Keep that. God is light. In him dwells no darkness, none. And you can gravitate towards that light. And understand, even when you're in the dark, even darkness is light to God, so he always knows where he's going. Always. Keep that in mind. Let that comfort you. I'm telling you, Paula, I'm on fire because you're on fire. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to take a really, really short break. We're coming to the end of our program. But when we come back, we're going to briefly talk about mentors. So definitely hang with us. Please check out Paula McDade's website at www.paulamcdade.com. Please contact her on LinkedIn because we know LinkedIn is the bomb.com. Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Check her out, please. Stay tuned. We will be right back. We want to talk about mentors. We'll be right back with you.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on yeticooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at yeticooks.com. Let's get cooking.
Hi, I'm Sherry with the Lemonade Stand. As the weather warms, your risk of exposure to mosquito and tick-borne illnesses increases. Please keep these tips in mind when outdoors. Wear light-colored clothing, apply repellent, avoid high grassy areas, check yourself after returning, and remove any attached ticks promptly, only with a tick removal device or tweezers, avoiding any home remedies. This has been a community service announcement courtesy of the Lemonade Stand.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of GDT Walking Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional, so if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walking Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
And we are back this awesome Sunday afternoon with this awesome woman of God, Paula McDade. She is the CEO of Stellar Creative, a boutique brand created to provide print, web, and publishing services to busy entrepreneurs, ministry professionals, and nonprofit organizations. She is a speaker, an author, and creative social entrepreneur who inspires women to shake off the limits of the past while breaking through the walls of doubt and fear
in order to maximize their potential. I'm telling you, folks, today we are maximizing our potential with this woman. She is truly the idea mogul, as she says. I wanted to talk about mentors. What is a mentor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a mentor is someone who can see the potential in one and gently speak to that and gently help guide through certain seasons of your life, through certain transitions in your life. Typically, when someone seeks out a mentor, it's because they are wanting to maybe elevate from one different area of life to another, or make a transition from, say, being a student to a career professional. So often people will seek out mentorship to help guide and lead them. A mentor is not necessarily a coach. A coach has a more structured type of relationship with their client, but just a mentor is someone who, sort of an informal type of relationship that can really help to provide that guidance and that necessary support, and also help speak to things within a person that they may not necessarily recognize, or things that need to be drawn out so that they can become the best version of themselves.
Amen to that. Paula, what do you say? I know parents can be mentors, but what do you say? What do you say to a parent when they wish that their child maybe gravitated towards them, but they did not?
You know, definitely don't take that personally, because God can use third party. He can use third party confirmation to actually help your child see that the advice that you've been giving them all along has been correct. Often you will say one thing to your child, but because it's you, they don't receive it. But having a third party to say that, now all of a sudden they see it as, oh, wow, you know, you're absolutely right. And so I think that that's just how young people, that's how they work. That's how their minds work often. And so it's not a personal thing. It doesn't mean that your child doesn't love you, or that they don't receive you, or anything like that. It's just that often a third party is a way to still get that same information to your child, just from a different voice. And often it will be confirmation of what you've already said, you know.
I love
that. Confirmation. Yeah, definitely.
I love that. Because people say things differently. It's just really mm-hmm. about a different perspective sometimes. It's, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of times you might even be hearing the same type of information. But again, if God knows how you are designed and the way that
right.
you think, sometimes it could be as simple as different words. Like, I know me, I analyze words. And so, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes words can be trigger words for me. People don't even know they're doing
right.
it. I'm like, but wait, you said that word versus this word. So, mm-hmm. you know, God knows how to communicate with you, because he's the great communicator, and he will use
yeah.
various people to do that. Last question. Talk to us about your awesome, awesome Stellar Creative.
Oh, my gosh, my baby. So, you know, I started out just doing graphic design. So everything from people's business cards, flyers, brochures, you know, basic things like that. And still to this day, I still do those things. But then, you know, it sort of came around where after I wrote my devotional, the Captured and Crowned devotional, which the one that's featured on YouVersion, and published it, I started thinking, you know, I've done this publishing thing a few times. I did it for a friend of mine who was writing books left and right. She asked me to self-publish her stuff, and so I did. And I thought, you know, you could really offer this as a service, as another stream of income for your business. And so I did. I started helping others to publish their books, and so that was another piece to the puzzle. But then also I created the anthology series, the Brilliant Awakening anthology, so that women, to give women a voice
mm-hmm.
so that they could be set free from the secrets that they had been holding, some of them for their whole lives, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like molestation, things like that rape that happened in college, or that abortion that they had when they were
mm-hmm.
17, you know, or the child that they lost through a miscarriage, you know, and things like that. And so giving these women a voice to express their personal testimony and how God had brought them through those things was very, very powerful. And so when I launched the anthology series, The Brilliant Awakening, which we have volume 2 coming out up really soon, I said to myself, I want to be like a, I want to be like a Moses, leading these women through their testimonies and having them come out into their promise. Because when you release that baggage that you've been holding for years and you share it with others, now there's an opportunity for a whole new level of freedom to take place. And now you can become a catalyst for freedom for so many others at that point, because you're giving people the courage to now embrace their stories and to release those stories. And so it's just a snowball effect, and it's been so fulfilling to help these women to come out and share those testimonies and share how God has brought them through and delivered them and healed them from these traumas. And so, and that was just an outgrowth again of me acknowledging my story and being able to share that with others and knowing that there was grace on the other side of that. So giving women an opportunity through the anthology. And so, you know, so it went from just graphic design to now publishing to now a magazine, the Brilliant Awakening magazine, which I totally didn't see coming. I did not see it coming at all.
Well, when it's coming from the Lord, you wouldn't.
yeah, absolutely. And I was like, God, are you serious? And he was like, yeah, we're going to do a magazine. Okay, God, whatever you say. You know, and
I
so
love it.
Just saying yes to that, you know, and embracing the magazine. And now we're getting ready to release our second issue here at the end of the month. But it's just been an incredible, incredible journey of building, learning, growing, flexing, you know, being open to hear God and what is the next move. And so, you know, now we're looking at moving into television, Brilliant Awakening TV, you know, so God is just continuing to build on this brilliant brand that he gave me, that he placed in my spirit, that I didn't see coming. And do you know the Brilliant Awakening started out as the Beautiful Struggle? And a woman reached out to me and she said, you know, this is not really a personal thing for me. She said, so I don't want you to take it the wrong way. She said, but I just released my book, and the name of my book is Beautiful Struggle. And she said, you know, we know a lot of the same people and we're in a lot of the same circles. So, you know, I don't really know if that would be the wisest choice of a book title for you. So I'm just giving you a heads up, you know, of course it's your decision, but you may or may not want to do that. And so from that is how we came.
That's how
we landed on the Brilliant Awakening. Yeah.
Oh my. And you know what? The Lord knew that name was going to change, but the way that the story goes sounds absolutely beautiful. I have to say, Paula, you know, from the beginning of this program to the end, the sweet has truly been sweeter with the bitter involved inside.
Yes.
And I am more in awe of you and your talents and your gifts. And I would just wish nothing but favor and blessings on the road that clearly the Lord has for you. But just for your strength, that I do pray that, like Moses, God will send those to hold your hands up as we cross over, as we all cross over.
I
feel very proud of you. And
thank you.
You just have a beauty about you. It's really wonderful. And I sense the peace in you that truly does surpass all understanding. So I want to thank you officially for being our program. I do want to have a follow-up show with you. Because we got to keep our tabs on you. You're moving.
Absolutely.
You're like a little skyrocket. So we're going
to
do a follow-up show with you. Well, folks, we are at the end of our program. And I wanted to end this show reading from a book that I mentioned earlier called, it's called Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. Superficiality is a curse of our age. The doctrine of instant satisfaction is a primary spiritual problem. The desperate need today is not for a great number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. The classical disciplines of the spiritual life call us to move beyond surface living into the depths. They invite us to explore the inner caverns of the spiritual realm. They urge us to be the answer to a hollow world. John Woolman counseled, "It is good for thee to dwell deep, that thou mayest feel and understand the spirits of people." We must not be led to believe that the disciplines are for spiritual giants and hence beyond our reach, or for contemplatives who devote all their time to prayer and meditation. Far from it. God intends the disciplines of the spiritual life to be for ordinary human beings, people who have jobs,
who care for children, who must wash dishes and mow lawns. In fact, the disciplines are best exercised. Oh, they're best exercised in the midst of our normal daily activities. If they are to have any transforming effect, the effect must be found in the ordinary junctures of human life, in our relationships with our husband, our wives, our brothers and sisters, our friends, and also our neighbors. So until next time, please keep sharing your dovetail, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. And to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.